Ephesians chapter 5. We're going to discuss. We've been cruising along in Ephesians pretty good. Can't really complain. If it did, it doesn't matter anyway. It's God's Word, and that's just the way it is. We can complain about it all we want, but it's not going to change much. Amen? You ever read the book of James and complained about it? It's like, really? that ain't what I want. That's the way it is. Man, I got all this fancy equipment, and sometimes I forget how to use it and what I'm doing, and that's the wrong page, and that'll be the right page, I think. Yeah, that's where we're at. Wives. Oh, notice it didn't say anything about men. No.
Yeah.
All right, so Ephesians chapter 5. I'm going to be honest with you. It lays something on men that is worse than the submission part. And we might get to that tonight. We might not. But Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 22 through 24. Wives, submit yourselves unto your husbands as unto the Lord. For the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church, and he is the Savior of the body. Therefore, as the church is subject unto Christ, let the wives be to their own husbands in everything. All right, before we go, we better pray. Dear Lord, we do ask that you would help us tonight, give us discernment. And Lord, let us take these passages of Scripture, Lord, that we know that you've given to us, and let us discern them and use them for your honor and glory. In Christ's name, amen. Okay, he gives us two reasons, really, for this command. The lordship of Christ, in verse 22, wives, submit yourselves unto your husbands, your own husbands, as unto the Lord. And he gives us that. It's the lordship of Christ and the headship of the man in Christ. Now, we got to keep that in mind when we're looking at this. Now, when the Christian wife, when the believing wife, the Christian, and let me separate these two. There's believers in the world, and then there's Christians. But there's a lot of people that have believed and they're saved. But you can't, because Christian means Christ-like. Not everybody that's saved is Christ-like. I know I wasn't for a number of years. And I'm still striving at that. None of us have arrived, amen? I mean, if we've arrived, we got problems, because that means we ain't got a pulse, and for some reason I'm seeing you, which means I may not have one. So when Christian wives submit themselves to Christ and let Christ be the Lord of her life, she'll have no difficulty submitting to the husband. And that's true. Now, don't get mad at me yet. So far, everything's going good. This doesn't mean that she becomes a slave. It don't mean that she's my footstool. Listen, they're a long way from being that. Anybody that's got a good wife will tell you behind every good man is a super, super excellent wife because she helps me a bunch. So, see, I'm going good here, brother. I don't. So, whenever the wife is where she should be with Christ, there's not a problem with the submission to the man. And there again, I'm going to explain. I'm going to say that again. That doesn't mean she is like a slave. Because here's the key. If a husband's life is right with the Lord, he's not going to treat her that way. Now, I'm not going to ask you to raise your hands, but have you, as a wife, or maybe you know one, you ever felt like you were just a possession? You ever felt like you was a slave to that spouse? You hush over there now. Don't say amen. At one, I'm going to use me, because I didn't talk bad about myself. At one time, she was more of a possession to me than a wife. But my heart wasn't where it should have been with the Lord. At one time, I just took her for granted that, well, she's going to be home to wash my clothes. She's going to be home to, well, she's raising the kids, because I sure wasn't. I got good reason. I was out making money. See, that was my job. I got to bring in the money. But I wasn't being right as a dad either. So when her heart's right with the Lord, my heart's right with the Lord, there's harmony in the home. It'll all work out good that way. If you don't, if you don't have that harmony, it's like a guitar that's way out of tune. It just doesn't sound too good. You know, sometimes when we're singing and you hear that, wah, and that's me because I missed the chord. It don't go good, does it? And I'm going to pick on my favorite pianist. Every now and then I hear the plank, and I look over there and she'll smile real big. Because I do the same thing. Anyway, so whenever the wife is where she should be with the Lord, the husband's where he should be with the Lord, both are living under the lordship of Jesus Christ, then there's harmony in the home. And that's the only way there can be harmony in the home. When one gets out of sync, it causes a wreck. It really does. And a lot of times, unfortunately, I've known some husbands and wives that were doing really well, and then somewhere along the line, one stepped off on the wrong path, went down the wrong exit, and it caused a lot of problems. Sometimes they come back and they get it all squared away, but sometimes it ends in, what's that D word? It ends in divorce. And it shouldn't, but it does. And it's unfortunate, but that does happen. All right, so let me carry on. Headship, we need to remember, men, headship is not dictatorship. There's a difference between... Well, here, let me give you a prime example. It's political. We've had presidents in the past that done what they're supposed to do. They were presidents. Then we've had the one that I know of now in my lifetime is a dictator. He wants to dictate things. How does that make most Americans that's got common sense, how does that make them feel? They don't like it. Well, it's the same way with us. When the man all of a sudden steps over that line of husband, headship, and dictatorship, that's the way the wife feels. Amen. Right? There, I knew I'd get amen out of her then. You see, and seriously it is. I'll be up front with you. When a pastor in the church crosses that line of dictatorship, it's the same thing. You see, and you got to be careful because you run a little thin line as a pastor. You run a little thin line as a husband. There's a lot on our shoulders. It really is. Who's going to answer to the Lord for my family? Sammy ain't. He going to answer to his own. I'm going to answer to the Lord for my family. So there's that fine line of that we got to be very careful not to cross over and go into the dictatorship mode, I'll say. So really, when each of the husband and wife both have the Lord as their lordship over them, the Christian husband and the Christian wife, or the those two believers that have been united, they should be able to pray together. They ought to spend time in the Word together. Discuss things. Me and her get in discussions all the time. Now, she wants to be wrong. That's okay. But no, we get into discussions all the time. And we talk about things. It's not necessarily that I know more than she knows or she knows. We just like discussing the Bible. We get a kick out of that. I'd rather discuss the Bible than I had anything else. Because it's fun. Now, we have gotten heated over a few things. I'm like, you don't see it my way? What? Open your eyes. But she's thinking the same thing. You don't see what I'm telling? But we need to spend time in prayer. We should spend time studying the Word. And really it's so that we might know God's will for our individual lives, but also as a couple and for our home. That's the way it works. When me and her study together, not only do we figure out that, hey, this is my role, this is her role, but as a couple, the Lord starts showing us this is what's good for the home. Having your children in church, that's good for the home. And sometimes that's a real hard problem. Most marriage conflicts that pastors deal with and that I've dealt with is failure between the husband and or the wife to be submissive to Christ. Not just, she ain't submissive to me, that's why we're having a problem, Pastor. But if I'm thinking that away, I'm not being submissive to the Lord anyway. Usually it's a combination of both of us have got our hearts wrong. And we need to, that's why we need to spend time in the Word and we need to seek the Lord's will every day of our life. Which it brings to mind, I'll pick on Sammy. Because Sammy's a good example. Me and Louie and Roger. Well, I'll back up further than that. I've known Olivia, sitting way back there in the back, his wife now, for years. I've known her since, oh good grief, probably 08, some 09, little bitty thing. Sometimes in the little church we were at, she was the only teenager in mine and Sandy's Sunday school class. Sometimes she'd bring friends, sometimes other kids would come. But she was faithful at being there. She's been on some mission trips, and she's been faithful to church. So when I come out here, lo and behold, who do I meet? Sammy, who's faithful. I have seen Sammy walking to church from up the road in 115 degrees. And he'd walk into church. And he's going to make sure he's here. Every service, he would be here. And I'm like, I started this little thing in my mind. I'm like, you know, I know somebody looking for a wife, but the problem is, I mean, a husband, but the problem is she lives in Kentucky. And he lives out here in Nevada. And in my mind, I'm like, And Olivia one day mentioned coming out here to camp. I'm like, oh, that's a good idea. She even come out here and spent most of the summer and got a job. And I loaned her a car of mine so she could do all this. And her and Sammy, it kind of little thing started. But then at camp, the last camp they went to, me and Roger really harassed those two. And finally, I just told Sammy, I said, Sammy, I said, dude, you got to make a move. You know, the plum is right here. You wait too long. But no, we did kind of harass him. But I believe that she was praying. I know she was. Praying for a godly husband. And I believe he was praying for a godly wife. Well, guess what? They got married, and now they got the little rat back there. And want to have five or six more. And I'm like, what's wrong with you? But hey, praise the Lord. Listen, it's so important for a saved young man and a saved young woman to look for that in their life. Because if you don't, I'm not saying it won't work. And I'm not saying that spouse one day when you get married won't get saved. I'm not going to say that. But I will say there's a lot of trouble. And I can attest to that from my own children. Lots of problems. I'm not on Facebook. My youngest girl married an unsaved man. I wasn't living right, but I was against that. But nonetheless, she married him. I will hand it to him. He goes to church with her. He's heard the word of God. He's heard the good news. But he just ain't saved. They have some issues in that line of their life. They can't have children, which I'm going to say it this way, it's probably a blessing from the Lord, because I believe there would be a lot of conflict between those two when that took place. So the Lord works things out. He does. But that's why it is so important for young people, when they're looking for a spouse, make sure that person believes what you believe. Make sure that person knows the Lord is their Savior. It's a whole lot better off that way. You'll have what's my word? You'll have a more harmonious outcome if it works that way. It really will. And praying together. I could ask them to right now, but I guarantee you before they got married, they prayed together. And they should. They ought to. I know they studied the Word of God together because they were at church and they were at camp. And Sammy's got some weird ideas, but all in all, Sammy's pretty smart. But he is strange. If you ever talk to him over a few minutes, you'll know that he's on a different limb than I'm on most of the time. I'm not going to back off of that one because it's true, but he is okay. He's kind of where Kyle's at. Kyle's out on this real skinny limb, and Kyle likes it out there. Sammy's out there with him. Never mind. I'm going to leave that alone. All right, we better move on. So we've determined, honestly, the wife, if she's in line with God, then she'll be in line with her husband. And if the husband's in line with God, then it'll all work out. He won't treat her that she's the weaker vessel, or that she's not as smart, or that she's not as strong. Listen, she knows she ain't as strong as I am. She knows that she needs a cast iron skillet. Amen. Not just for cooking. That'll line you out. You know, she was telling me one day, well, your job's not, you got a pretty easy job. I said, really? I was a horseshoer for 20 years. And I said, well, I tell you what. I said, here. I gave her the tools. I said, get after it. Well, she didn't like that. I'll be up front with you. I did not have what it takes to raise three children. She did. I wouldn't have three kids alive if I'd have raised them. They would have died one by one, slowly, because I couldn't handle what she... Now, she did tell them, you wait till Dad gets home. They didn't like hearing that. I could deal with it when I got home because I wasn't there when it was happening. Because... I told my son one time, I said, I brought you in the world, I'll take you out. It's up to you. But he does his kids the same way. And so it works. Listen, you got to have that in the home to be where you ought to be. Husbands, love your wife. Now we're going to pick on the husband. Because we understand my wife is not my slave. She's not a doormat. Listen, When God made Eve, he didn't take something out of the, he didn't take a vertebrae out of the back. He took a rib. She's my helpmeet. She helps me decide things. I'm going to hand it to you. There's a lot of times that she has a thought pattern that's a whole lot better than mine. I believe the Lord has blessed women with that. They have an intuition. That's the word I'm looking for. That men ain't got. And it would behoove us to listen to them a lot more than what we do. As long as they're in tune with the Lord. Same with her. As long as I'm in tune with the Lord, she ought to listen to me. And hey, Sarah called Abraham Lord. Have you figured that one out? How to get Olivia to do that yet? I hadn't either. I got to tell you, because some of you know, some of you don't. I was in Eagle, Colorado, and we went to church there and for a long time. And I would come out the door after church was over and we'd be all fellowshipping and finally people starting to leave. And I'd look over there at her and the kids and I'd say, truck, the same way I did my dogs. And they'd all get in the truck. And she would say, yes, my Lord, sarcastically. And I'd just laugh and go on about my business. We'd get in the truck and go home. It's a guy moved from Chicago. His name's Jeff Travis. He made him show up here one day. He lives in Phoenix now. He whispered to me one afternoon at church, and he said, hey, come here a minute. And we walked around the side. He said, I got a question. He said, how do you get her to do that? I said, get her to do what? I didn't think quick enough, or I could have had a ball. He said, the yes, my Lord. I went, dude, she's being sarcastic. I said, she ain't serious. Oh, I thought she was serious. You know, Sarah called Abraham. I said, no. She knows me. Anyway. All right, let me go on because I'm chasing a rabbit. Now, that might have been a squirrel. Verse 25. Husbands, love your wives even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it that it might sanctify... that he might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of the water by the word, that he might present it to himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any other such thing, but that it should be holy and without blemish. So ought men to love their wives as their own bodies. He that loveth his own, loveth his wife, loveth himself. For no man ever yet hated his own flesh, but nourisheth and cherisheth it, even as the Lord, the church. For we are members of his body, of his flesh, and of his bones. For this cause shall a man leave his father and mother, and shall be joined unto his wife, and they two shall be one flesh. This is a great mystery, but I speak concerning Christ and the church. Nevertheless, let every one of you in particular so love his wife even as himself, and the wife see that she reverence her husband. Now, Paul, the Apostle Paul, had a lot to say to the Christian husbands than to the wives, to be honest with you. You see, when you read that, it wives, submit yourself to your husband. That's about all he said. But when he talks to the husbands about their wives, he's got a bunch in here. Because listen, the wife is special. You see, Christian husbands, he said a lot to them. He set really for them a very high standard. He really did. Love your wives even as Christ also loved the church. Wow. When you think about that, Christ gave his life for the church. That's tough. But when you even go deeper than all of that, then Christ forgives the church, doesn't he? If he really gave us what we deserved, it wouldn't be too good. You see, the Lord Jesus wants us to treat our wives the way he treats the church. Paul was really lifting the two people that are married, their love really to the highest level possible. Because Christ gave himself for the church. That's pretty special. You see, he saw the Christian home really as an illustration and relationship between Christ and the church. That's what he compared it. Now, there again, if the husband's where he ought to be, if the wife's where she ought to be, then there's harmony, and then you can see that in a home. What makes up a church? Homes. People that are in a home. My wife and I and my three kids, we belonged to a church years ago in Lamar, Colorado. We were part of that church. So however the home operates, it reflects on the church. That's why the home needs to be in order with the Lord. That's why it's so important. Because I said this the other day, I've got to have things right with myself and the Lord in order for me and her to have things right with the Lord, which is going to flow over into the church. Because if my personal life ain't worth a flip, my marriage life ain't going to be too good. And if I'm in the church, it's going to affect the church. It really does. What we do, how we do things affects the church. You see, God established marriage for a lot of reasons. For one thing, it meets men's emotional needs. Men are like, I'll compare them to horses. Horses do not like to be alone. Horses are herd animals. You take a horse off by himself, I'm serious, they get depressed and you can see it. Now you leave them that way long enough and they'll just get an attitude, and yeah, they'll do what you want, but they just stand around out there. They like being with another animal, with that other horse. Men are the same way. I liked being by myself sometimes, but I like conversation. When I trucked, I enjoyed trucking. I was just sitting in there, just me and God and the radio. And every now and then I'd click on my CB so I could talk to somebody because I wanted to hear somebody. That's just what, you see, the Lord said it's not good that man should be alone. That's one reason marriage came about. Marriage also, it has a social purpose in the bearing of children. Got to continue the human race. That's why I get a kick out of all these homosexual problems we've got. I've never seen two stud horses in love with each other and trying to have sex. Because each of them knows it takes a mare before you're going to have a colt. That's what happens. That's the only way you can get a foal. There ain't no horse, a stud horse, stallion, ain't going to have a foal. It don't work that way. Animals got more sense than we got. Amen. You know, they don't get perverted. But that's another reason. The Lord said, replenish the earth. The Lord knew that was the situation. Paul indicated a physical purpose of marriage. And really, it's to help man and woman fulfill the normal desires that are given to them by God. Men and women have desires. We have to keep them under control until we get married. I don't care if you're 15 years old or if you're 95. If you ain't married, don't be in that position. Because that's the way it's supposed to be. That's what the Lord told you. But the Lord made us that way. When I look at my wife, I see the same little hot gal I saw the first time she ever walked in church. That's what I see. You know, I'm saying, yes, I won't even tell you what she's wearing, but anyhow, it was the 70s, so you can imagine. But listen, that's what I see with her. And it's still attractive. It still attracts me. If it don't, I got something wrong. And the Lord made me that way. So, but we do have to control ourselves because we can get in big trouble in a hurry. But God made marriage for that purpose, and don't ever let nobody tell you any different. You see, it's normal desires. He also made them for spiritual purposes in marriage. You see, as the husband and wife experience each other over the submission and the love of Christ. I hope I never put to the test, but I will stand in front of her if somebody wants to kill her. I don't have a problem with that. I've told you before, you can say a lot to me and get away with it. That includes church members, that includes people out in public. You say a lot to me. You might even touch me. But somebody lays a hand on her, they're going to pay. And I believe that's the Lord looks at the church that way too. I really do. I've seen things happen. I'll put it this way. I've heard of some things happening to people that tried to cause trouble for the church. And they paid dearly. I know of a few laying in the graveyard. You don't mess with the Lord's wife. Same with us. And it's supposed to be that way. You see, if the husband makes Christ's love for the church the pattern for loving his wife, then I'll have a sacrificially love for her. Christ gave himself for the church, so should the husband. In love, I give myself for her. Jacob, he loved Rachel enough, he did what? He worked 14 years for her. Man, that's that dedication. He worked 14 years to get his wife. But that's sacrificially. He did that. True Christian love, it seeketh not itself. 1 Corinthians 15. Oh, let's go there. 1 Corinthians 15, 3. No, is it 15? No, 13. What have I got? Yeah, 13. 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 5. Well, now we might as well just start verse 1. No. Verse 3. And though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, and though I give my body to be burned, and have not charity, that's love, it profiteth me nothing. Charity, or I'm going to say it this way. Love suffereth long and is kind. Love envieth not. Love vaunteth not itself. Love is not puffed up. Doth not behave itself unseemingly, seeketh not her own, is not easily provoked, thinketh no evil. Now, if I've got the right love for my wife, I won't have those problems, and I will treat her the way she's supposed to be treated. If a husband submitted to Christ and filled with the Spirit, really our sacrificial love will willingly pay a price that she'll be able to serve the Lord. And that's true. I'll put her where she's supposed to be, and it won't be down here. And I'm going to have to quit. So we're going to come back to verse 25. But what I want you to understand is that the Lord in no way looks down on the church. He doesn't. It doesn't tell us that. He's my Lord and Savior. But he doesn't look, when it comes to the cross, we're all on even ground. He treats us the same. He treats her the same as he treats me. He forgives her just like he forgives me. I'm to do the same for her. I'm to love her enough that I would give myself for her. But not only that, I'll do what it takes to supply for her. That's what we're supposed to do as husband and wives. So, being submissive doesn't mean, hey, honey, put my boots on so I can go to work and be sure to take them off when I get up. She's taken my shoes off before when I've come in. But that was out of her own willingness. It wasn't because I said, "Here, woman, take my shoes off." She done it out of love. Be honest with you, I've done the same thing out of love for her. I even wash dishes. Yes, sometimes. Not all the time. But here's my deal. I actually cook most every morning meal we have. It ain't because I have to. It's because I want to do it. She says, "What do you want to cook?" I'm like, "Oh, I'll go in there and cook." And I do. I'll fry up bacon and eggs. Every now and then I'll be honest and I'll be a good person to do her piece of toast because I try to avoid the toast. And I'll eat, oh, she likes grits, so I'll do her grits. You ever eat grits? Oh, your grits are good. There's a lot of reason behind why I cook because I can choose how many eggs I want. No, honestly, I just enjoy doing it. There was a lot of morning she got up at 3 a.m. to fix my meal before I left. She and didn't complain. "Honey, wake me up and I'll fix your lunch in the morning." I'm like, "Well, we can fix it tonight and I want to be soggy in the morning." Okay. She did that for me. I can't, not to mention she birthed my three children and then raised them. She was in line with Christ because she sacrificially taught them as well through all their schooling. So I'm impressed with what the Lord gave me for a wife. I know I pick on her a lot, and I make a lot of jokes with her. But listen, that's the best thing the Lord could have ever given me other than salvation. It kept me out of lots of trouble. And she still keeps me out of a lot of trouble. We're never to treat our wives any less than what the Lord treats us. Amen. All right, let's...